Well, today is the final message in our Matters of the Heart series. When we began this series, we came to understand that when the Bible refers to the word heart, the human heart, it's not necessarily referring to, and most of the time, that faithful blood pump that's in our chest. Rather, the heart that it refers to is the center of who we are. Everything we think, everything that's in our soul, our character, our will. When God speaks of the heart, he is speaking of who we really are inside, that deep center in our being. It's a place where we hold what we love most, what we crave, what motivates us. It is the place that defines who we are, or as someone said, it is a place, the person we are, when no one else is listening. I want to challenge us, though. What do you treasure most in your life? What do you love most in your life? In Matthew 6:21, Jesus said so clearly, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." God knows what you and I treasure above all else. God knows what is in every heart every second of every day. Last week after the service, a few of you shared with me how you enjoyed this series and that it has challenged you, that it's ministered to you and to your heart. And we are so thankful to hear that, for that is why we felt led to develop this series. As your pastors, as we move among the congregation in meetings and visits and talking with you, we hear your joys, we hear your sorrows, we hear your challenges, we hear your struggles, we hear your heartbreaks, and we felt led to share from God in his word that he hears the cry of your hearts. And that God wants to assure you that he loves you, that he's always with you, is always there to hear you, to help you, to forgive you, to guide you, whatever you need. He is there for you. And this loving and all-knowing and all-powerful God will never, never, never leave you. All God's people say, amen. What does that truth do for your heart? Doesn't that truth of God's never-ending love and presence in your life just make your heart happy? Doesn't it bring you a comfort, a calmness, a peace in your inner being, in your mind and soul, in your heart? Doesn't it, like biblical language says, just kind of make your heart want to leap inside of you because of how God loves you? God sees your heart. God hears your heart. He always does and always will. He wants to comfort, calm, and encourage your heart. Give all that you are, mentally and emotionally and spiritually, give your heart to Jesus and experience a presence, a warmth, and a peace that only he can bring. I know you're probably familiar with this little sign. I saw this on a bumper sticker one time. If you don't have Jesus, you have any peace. So no Jesus with an N-O means no peace. But if you know Jesus, you know peace. Want to say it with me? No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. And that's what God wants us to know. If you know him and you have him in your heart and your life and you trust him and you know he loves you, then you know him and you can have peace that passes, as scripture says, all human understanding because you know who's behind it all. But there's another dimension in this heart topic as we come to the conclusion of this series. It's actually the beginning of our lives with our hearts before him. It's in regards to God's heart, God's desire for our hearts, to be molded, to be like, to model his heart. It's talking about the heart of God. We often think about our hearts, but how many times have we really thought about God's heart? You know, throughout scripture, we see God's heart is mentioned many times. We find that the heart of God, God's heart, and all the things that are there, we can know what is on our hearts, but as we read through scripture, we want to know what is on God's heart. What does God treasure? What does God love? What is God's heart set on? Well, three things. First, God's heart is set on you. Say you. Say me. God's heart is set on you. Look at John 3:16. We all are familiar with that. For God, and you see his love, his heart just expressed in these passages. For God so loved the world, and we're all in that, that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. I just want you to do an exercise for me. Leave that up there, please. And what says the world instead of the world, say your name. I would say David, for God so loved David. You say your name. Ready? For God so loved David that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loves you as if you're the only person in the universe to focus his love on. He loves every one of us the same way. Isn't that beautiful? God's heart is focused on you. In Romans 5:8 it adds, but God proved his love for us, and while we were still sinners, this is how much God's heart focuses on us, Christ died for us. While we're still sinners, running away, saying we don't want you, God, God loved, his love was proven and expressed in that way. Galatians 2:20, which is kind of my life verse, says, is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who what? Loved me and gave himself for me. You hear God's heart? You hear his love for you? Ephesians 2, 4-5, but God who is rich in mercy, out of the great, what? Love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Can you hear God's heart for you? 1 John 4, 9-10 says, God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. I mean, think about how much God loves us. While we're yet sinners, running away, denying him, betraying him, not even considering him, he loved us so much, he gave all of his love into us through Christ his Son. In fact, the definition of God is found in 1 John 4, 7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, because love comes is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for, what are those three words? God is love. Please say that with me. God is love. So what does God treasure? What does God love? What is God's heart set on? You and me. There's a song that was out a while back that was entitled, When He Was on the Cross. Listen to these words. The look of love was on his face and thorns on his head. Blood was on that scarlet robe, and it was stained in crimson red. Though his eyes were on the crowd that day, he looked ahead in time. For while he was on the cross, you were on his mind. He knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine, I'm so unworthy of such mercy. For while he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Yes, while he was on the cross, you were on his mind. God's love, God's passion, his treasure, what God's heart is set on is you. I just want to give you a challenge here. I know that most here have come to that time in your life when you have realize how God has set his love on you, and you've responded to that love, and you've said, Lord, thank you so much for that, and I respond to that by inviting you to my heart as my Savior and my friend now and forever. And I rejoice in that. But in every congregation across this earth, there are still people who have not made that decision. I want to challenge you. Think about how much God loves you. If you've never come to Christ, if you've never invited Christ into your heart as your personal Savior and Lord, please invite him into your heart this day. If you need to ask a question of pastors or a Christian friend, do that. But do not leave. Do not breathe your last breath. Do not leave this day as God is pulling you, tugging you, influencing you through his Holy Spirit. Do not walk out of this day without saying, Lord, I know you focused on me and your love, and I'm responding to that. Please forgive me for my sins. Please come into my heart as my Savior. Be my Father and my friend now and forever. That's how you respond to a God whose focus is on you. A second place where God's heart is set on is, he said, I want comes out of your heart. This is for people that have made that decision for Christ. And you've been living for the Christian life. Remember, the heart is that our minds, our character, our inner self, our will, our intentions, that center of who we are. God wants us to be cautious on what goes into and out of our hearts, how we express it, and how we live our lives. In Proverbs 4:23, it says this, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. In Matthew 15:18-19, it says, Jesus says, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. All those things can come out of a heart, and that means they're acted on. Our heart and what we love, what we hold true, directs and controls our actions. God's heart is set on you, and what comes out of your heart and in your life and is expressed in your heart and life. In Proverbs 27:19, it says, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. I want to challenge you students that have graduated. Some of you will be going into places away from the comfort and the care and the oversight of your parents and your Christian teachers here and the influences of the body of Christ. You're going to go into areas, places where they have no understanding or knowledge maybe of the good news of Jesus or of Jesus. They may not be trying to follow Jesus. They have no idea, and whether they are intentionally or non-intentionally do it, you will be tempted to be led away from where you are in Christ. I really appreciate what Pastor Paul has said about making sure your Bible is open your first time, then making sure you connect with a Christian fellowship, making sure you connect with a church. I know when I went to college, I was not even a believer yet, but I thought I was a Christian. And then when I went to college, I hooked up with this Friday night fellowship, and you've heard my testimony. And through that fellowship and a Christian dorm mother, I came to know Jesus Christ. You need that foundation. There's a motto we used in my one church, and it said this, if we do not teach our children to follow Jesus, the world will teach them not to. That's so true. So students, this is where this comes out. God loves you. God sent his son to die for you. That's how much he loves you. Especially if you've invited him in your heart as your Savior, are you going to go off and forget him? Are you going to ignore him? Are you going to party without him? Are you going to take him with you? Because he's there. I challenge you to continue to honor Jesus in your life, in your heart, as you go forth. The world needs you to show Jesus to them. Throughout Scripture, all of us, God calls us to examine our hearts, to cleanse our hearts, to turn our hearts, to renew our hearts, to guard our hearts, to have wise hearts, to keep our hearts pure. As a matter of fact, in Joel 2:13, it says, rend your hearts. Kind of a funny thing that the prophets did in those days. When they got upset because the people would not hear what God was saying, they would actually grab a piece of clothing and rip it. I remember one time a little cartoon of, I think it was Linus, he was doing one in Charlie Brown cartoon, and he was so upset about something, he grabbed his pocket and he tore it, and he said, oh no, I renteth my garment. That they would do that to show the frustration that they and God has over us continuing to walk away and not listen to God. He says, rend your hearts, not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. God wants you to open your heart, rip it open, and let him take it and fill it. He wants you to know that he wants us to have pure hearts. In Psalm 51:10, it says, Lord, we need to pray this. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Put a new and right spirit within me. And when to the depths of who we are, truly inside, we desire to have hearts that truly want to honor and glorify Christ. Hold on. Don't let that go by. Let me ask you something. Do you truly, in your heart, love Jesus more than anybody and anything? Say amen. Do you really, truly desire to have a heart that will love and honor Christ? Say amen. Then that's just the beginning of forming a heart that God desires for us to have. Heart that will bring us joy and peace throughout our lives rather than sin and pain and misery. A heart that will bring Him honor and glory. So what do you love? Each one of us, inside of us, is our heart, an invisible place within us and what it loves. And it loves a lot of things. And we can pretend that we love God, but it is a moment-by-moment daily fight to do that against the world. In the Old Testament, there's an account in 1 Samuel chapters 12 to 14 where King Saul, whose lineage was supposed to be the whole lineage of God's people, King Saul's heart had begun to disobey God and the word of God. And God judges him by removing his line of dynastic succession, saying his son will not rule after him. In a sad but very telling moment, God states what type of person he seeks to use then and now. I read from 1 Samuel 13:14. Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which He commanded you. The Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, but now your kingdom will not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after His own heart, and the Lord has appointed him to be ruler over His people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." You see that if we let our hearts wander away from honoring God, we actually give up blessings and direction and plans that God had for us that were wonderful, and God will seek another. And He seeks out a person after His own heart. Well, what does that mean, a man or a person after God's own heart? Well, it means it matters what goes into our lives and what comes out in actions from our heart. It means that no matter who or what, don't be like Saul and stop following God's commands or honoring Him. It means no matter who or what, do from the heart what God commands and honors Him. It means your life is striving to be in harmony with God's word and His will. It means if it's important to Him, it's important to you. It means if it burdens Him, it burdens you. It means if He says go to the right or the left, you go to the right or the left. And when you're a man or a woman after God's heart, you are deeply sensitive to what God wants. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord reigns throughout the entire earth to strengthen those whose heart is true to Him." God's eyes are constantly looking for every man, woman, youth, and child. Do they truly love me? Are their hearts truly given to me? Are they truly wanting to honor me in their lives? It's not that we don't fall and stumble and even sin, but do we ask for forgiveness? Do we ask for Him to purify us and help us not to do that again? We really want to honor Him again and again. He looks for those hearts that are true to Him. So what does God's heart want? Men and women whose hearts are His completely, where there are no locked closets, nothing is hidden. That means when you do wrong, you admit it, you come to terms with it before Him. You learn to please Him with your actions. You care deeply about the motivations behind your actions. He's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for deeply spiritual, genuinely humble, honest to the core people who love Him above everyone and everything. A heart is described in Mark 12:30. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." God's heart is set on you. God's heart is set on what comes out of your heart. And God's heart, thirdly, is set on you and all the people in this world around you. As a church, God's heart is set on us and all the people around us. Remember in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish." Look at 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting" how many to perish? "Any to perish, but all to come to repentance." God has a heart that's not just for us, but for the world around us. In Matthew 28, 19 to 20, Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of" how many nations? All nations. In Matthew 9, 36 to 38, he says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he says to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." You hear God's heart for the world and for us to be a part of that heart? God's heart is set on you and all around us. You heard about it in that Revelation passage that was read today, how every nation, the multitudes that will be before the throne. And that is because God's people, since Jesus left, have continued to be faithful in living and dying and witnessing and sharing. Do you realize that every one of us here today are here the result of what they did back 2,000 years ago? Their faithfulness to sharing the gospel, picked up by those others behind them and those others beyond them, and all the way to where all of us have heard. And God wants us to have the same heart for every multitude of every nation. You may have heard this number, but do you realize that our congregation right now has 25 nations represented in it? All God's people say, amen. Oh, what a glorious thing that is. Today we're going to have a congregational meeting. You're going to see a personnel manual that talks about how the staff should best serve the church and the church should best serve the staff. But even a greater document than that is a strategic plan. Both groups have worked very tirelessly for hours and hours, months, multiple meetings each month for a year and a half to bring this to you. Take it, pray about it, listen to it, and catch the vision. Catch the vision as to what God wants us to do, as God's heart is for here and out there. God's heart is for you and all around you. You saw some people. I'd like them to come up now. Victoria, Marcella, and Sylvia, could you come up for a second, please? She said she'd try to be here toward it. There she is, okay. Victoria, first, please. I know poor Victoria has been, we got her really out on the spot and nervous. She's been, but we're going to use this microphone here, please. So you say you lived about half your life in the United States and half the life in Brazil, correct?
Yes, I have.
Microphone, please. Is it not on? It was on. Okay. It was up. There we go. Okay. All right. And you're the ripe old age of?
21.
I'm not going to ask the others that question. Okay. You served with Youth with a Mission?
Yes, I did.
And where are they staged? Just in, like, Maryland?
All over the world.
All over the world. Youth with a Mission.
Yeah.
And how long are you here to serve with us?
The summer.
The summer?
12 weeks.
12, 13 weeks, yeah. And you've had your first week.
Yes, I have.
Serving along Pastor Paula. Mm-hmm. I know that's been a joy.
It has been,
you know. She's so lazy, isn't she?
Oh.
Not at all, my gang. Not at all. She works morning, noon, and night tirelessly, as all do. So anything about the mission and the work you see here, that your vision, your heart already that you see?
In my heart, since I'm working with the youth, I want them to have the same experience that I had, because I met Jesus, well, I grew up in church, but I met Jesus through a camp. And that was so essential, because in that camp, exactly what you started your message with, I met God's love for me, his personal love for me. I've known that God loves us and loves the world, but I didn't know he loved me, Victoria, as a person. And so that completely changed my life, and I want them to have the same experience that I have.
All God's people say, amen. Thank you. Marticella, if I may bring you over. Where were you born?
Brazil.
Okay, where did you, were you in a Christian family all your life?
No, we were secular Jews.
Secular Jews. Did you observe the Jewish holidays?
Yes, but we are communists.
And did your father believe in God?
No.
But you celebrated the holy days?
Yes.
And I think I remember when you shared in your testimony with us as a staff, Even though you were raised in a Jewish home, you had different people influence your life. Can you remember some of the connections or denominations they were with?
Yes. First time I heard about Jesus was through a Lutheran girl in my school. Then there was a group of from the Assemblies of God and Four Square Church that met together for prayer and Bible study. So that's the first church that I attend. And there was a Methodist pastor also that was kind of a disciple of me, was my psychiatrist.
I think it, can I share just a little bit of
yes.
that? You have to ask her own story, it's hers to tell. But when she came home one time after the Lutheran friend shared Jesus with her and she told her family, she was interested in Jesus. What was their reaction?
Well, they thought that I was crazy. So for the first time, I was 14 years old, and my father got his belt and spanked me so badly that I was bleeding. And they sent me to a psychiatrist for the next 40 years.
To a psychiatrist. And then I think your family moved, and they still wanted you to go to a psychiatrist again. So they found, she just mentioned, they found another psychiatrist who just happened to be a born-again Methodist pastor. Right?
Yes.
Yes. And when you said you were going to go to college, you said, well, you said to your family, I will go, but what?
Well, when they, I wanted to go to college, and they said, okay, you can go, and we pay for it, but you need to be home, and you can't go to any church. I mean, no church.
What did you do? What'd you do?
Well, I stayed home, and I went through college, and then when I was 21 years old, I went to the mission field and became a missionary with Youth of a Mission.
Amen.
40 years ago.
40 years ago. And I, you heard Pastor Eddie share that she is married to a wonderful man who happens to be a, go ahead.
Messianic rabbi. These are the Jews that believe that Jesus is our Messiah. He's our Lord.
All God's people say amen. Okay. Sylvia, if you could. Now, you've met Sylvia before. She's, first of all, she is married to the pastor, Pastor Carlos, of the Brazilian congregation down the road here, right down the hallway. Wonderful brother believers. You are the mother of how many children?
Three girls.
Nobody would know what that's all about. Anyway, and she's she's been serving part-time in our children's ministry, working well again with our discipleship pastor, Pastor Paula, doing a great work. You and Marcella are going to be doing some things together too, I understand. I want you to hear something that she shared the other day. I asked her if she'd share it again. Just, she had a word that just kind of tore through our staff. I mean, hit our hearts. Because we're so honored to hear this. Could you please?
Sure. I just would like to say thank you. That's what I did Tuesday on staff. Because I was thinking about the story of my life this week as my mom and dad just arrived from Brazil on vacation. And I felt so grateful to you. You should be very proud of yourselves as Christians, very proud of your parents and grandparents. They went all around the world as missionaries. And I'm so glad that they went to Brazil too. Because of their commitment to Christ, my husband and I are here. Our families were reached for Christ. Because of that, Vitória is here, and many, so many others. You have no idea. And when I went to the seminary in Brazil, I had my life impacted so profoundly by so many American professors. They were not perfect, but they changed my life. And they changed Brazil. And the two words that come to mind when I think of them are integrity and generosity. They told us about Jesus. They started churches, schools, seminaries. Because of that, there is a strong church in Brazil in the midst of political and economical chaos. There are many Brazilian missionaries in Brazil and all around the world, in places that Americans are not welcome anymore. So we not only received Jesus, but we became missionaries. And God used you for that. And for that, I will be forever thankful and so honored to be serving among you. So thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Go back to your seats. Hope you got the gist of that. I mean, we should say thank you for saying thank you. I mean, who do we say thank you to? Those before us. I mean, I had the honor of going to the prison ministry's banquet last night, and there was a gal that stood up that had many years ahead of her, and she'd come from a rough background and was committed to prison for many, many years, and she came to know Jesus. She stood up, and again, she looked at everybody out there, all the volunteers, the pastors, and the churches, and said, thank you, because she now knows Jesus, and she's free in Jesus, and she's no longer a number, she says. She's a God's child, and do you get it? God's heart is for you. That's what it's all about. The good news is Jesus came for you. God's heart reached out to you. If you've never done that before, please open your heart to Jesus and invite him in. God's heart is also what comes out of your heart. Really pray that you will honor Jesus with your life. Even if you stumble or fall or sin, ask him to forgive you and start again. You know, but honor him. He loves us so much. That's his heart. And his heart is for the world, obviously, because we are all here because somebody, as they shared, reached out and reached out and reached out. But will we? Yes, we are. I found it kind of ironic that missionaries went to Brazil and preached the gospel. Missionaries from the United States went to Brazil and preached the gospel. People in Brazil responded. Now, God has sent the Brazilian people to America to help America find Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you for being here. We welcome you. But that's what it's all about, my friends. Our strategic plan, our hearts, our church is all about people coming to know Jesus, growing in Jesus, and helping others find Jesus now and forever. Amen. God's heart is set on you, what comes from your heart, and for all those around us. Do you have a heart that's after God's heart? I hope we do. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this time of worship and celebration. Thank you for the testimonies we've heard. And Lord, we say thank you to you, for you are the first missionary sender. You loved us while we were yet sinners, and you sent your only son, Jesus, to die, to give his life, so we could come to new life in you. Help us to know you. Help us to honor you and worship you, as well as to reach others with that great love. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.